From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. This summer, Michael Moore's film Sicko brought one of healthcare's most famous whistleblowers back into the spotlight.
The spring of 1987, as a physician, I denied a man a necessary operation that would have saved his life and thus caused his death. No person and no group has held me accountable for this. Because, in fact, what I did was I saved a company $500,000 for this.
That's Linda Pino, a doctor from Louisville, Kentucky, before Congress in 1996. Her testimony came at the height of the national debate over patients' rights and HMOs. NPR's Julie Rovner recently spent some time with Linda Pino and has this profile.
Perched on the sofa in her cozy Louisville living room, Linda Pino looks pained. A pretty woman, now in her mid-50s, it's been 20 years since she denied a heart transplant for a patient while working as a claims reviewer for insurance giant Humana. She's still haunted by the sense that she knew in her heart that what she was doing wasn't right.
I was actually told at one point, you know, we're using your medical expertise to validate our economic decisions. So I was already, you know, cued into the fact that I was using my medical knowledge at times illegitimately.
Pino reached that conclusion with some sadness after she came to understand her misconceptions about managed care. She'd thought it would correct the overuse of medical care she'd seen as a resident.
Because I'd come out of training where I saw the abuses at the other extreme, you know, trolling for patients in the dental clinic so that you could take them up to surgery and do surgical procedures on them, whether they needed them or not.
Pino ultimately took a job with Humana, which is based in Louisville. That's where she'd done her medical training. But she soon realized she'd have to do a lot more than just rein in unnecessary care. Pino says she was expected to deny at least 10% of claims, that approvals were always questioned by superiors, but denials never were. And then came the heart transplant case.
So I actually called and approved it. And then, you know, it was just like all hell breaks loose. You know, oh my gosh, you know, you approve that, you can, it's $500,000.
But within minutes came some surprising news. It turned out that the patient's employer had specifically excluded transplants from its benefits package. That meant it wasn't even Humana's decision to make. Pino's initial approval was quickly reversed. She said she still had her doubts. She wondered how a patient whose insurance didn't cover transplants had gotten on the transplant waiting list in the first place.
And nobody, you know, seemed to care. I mean, I was told that I'd done a good job, congratulations, that I'd saved the company $500,000. I mean, it was just, as I came to understand it, I mean, you're sitting on the 23rd floor of a marble building 1,000 miles away, and all you're focused on are the numbers and the dollars, and so it just, you get kind of wrapped up and disconnecting from the fact that this is a real patient.
The pain of what she'd done really hit home a few days later. Pino was walking through the marble lobby of the vast Humana headquarters. She saw workers installing a sculpture.
And I remember seeing it, and of course what struck me then, because I know so little about modern art, really, and I didn't have a clue as to how much it cost, was how ugly it was.
And the very next day, she ran into a nurse whose husband worked in the accounting department.
And she said, well, you're just not going to believe this, because my husband said that he saw an invoice for a piece of art, and he said it cost $500,000. So that was like the jolt. You know, here I've just saved the company $500,000, and they've just invested $500,000 in this ugly piece of sculpture.
As it turned out, Pino's nurse informant was wrong. The skinny bronze statue of a woman by the famed Italian artist Giacometti actually cost more than $3 million. Pino was told this some years later by the brother of the then chairman of Humana. By then, Pino had long since left the company. The statue has long since been sold. There's another in its place in the lobby. Yet, Pino and Humana remain linked. To this day, every time she pops up in public, a Humana spokesman is ready to shoot her down. Today, it's Humana's Tom Noland.
How are you? Good to see you this morning.
He's taking issue with Pino's segment in Sicko.
She's represented in the film as having made a decision to, quote her, causing the death of a person. That didn't happen. The person was discharged from the hospital. He lived.
Well, says Pino with a sigh, yes and no. It's an argument she's had again and again over the years. It's true that after the patient didn't get the heart transplant he needed, he was discharged from the hospital.
So that meant instead of him dying right away, you know, he lived 20 or 22 months in cardiac hell before he did die. So I think that was a very heartless argument to make.
Humanist Noland, however, doesn't give up. He says the story is too old to still be a valid snapshot of the health insurance industry in general and Humana in particular.
The phrase you hear a lot, it's not your father's HMO. I mean, that's an actual fact. It's a provable fact. The system has changed completely in 20 years, and it's changed, frankly, in response to consumer demands and needs. In the 90s, there was a tremendous amount of frustration because health plans, by and large, were frequently in the business of saying no. Now they're in the business of saying yes.
But Pino says if that were the case, she wouldn't still see so many people being treated badly by their insurers. Pino says in just the first weekend after Sicko opened, she got dozens of emails from patients.
People who, you know, tell me just the most horrible, complicated, tragic stories. And when I first would start hearing all these things, I would try to do whatever I could. You know, I'd help them, I'd have them fax me material, I'd help them write their appeals.
These days, Pino works from a tiny office in the small house she shares with three cats and a black hamster named Matryoshka. She makes a living testifying from time to time as an expert witness in cases against insurance companies and lecturing on patient advocacy. For the past year and a half, she's also been studying ethics and theology at a local seminary. Pino says her emotional low point came last summer when she went to deliver a talk to a religious group. Initially, she was excited.
Because I thought, I would go in and I could start at a place and I wouldn't have to argue for things like healthcare being a right and, you know, our need to take care of one another. And I was really stunned by some of the people's response. I mean, with things like, well, I don't want my tax dollars to go to take care of those people. And, you know, the list would expand, you know, according to all kinds of different criteria. And very judgmental, very, the pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
After the talk, she went home, picked up her granddaughter, and went and sat in the park by the river.
You know, I sat there. I don't think I'd ever sort of hit a moment where I was so depressed, because I thought, if you can't convince people who ought to be out of their religious faith thinking differently, you know, then God help us.
You want to watch? We got the Castle in the Sky. You want to watch that?
Pino says she stays in Louisville only because her family is nearby, including the 5-year-old granddaughter who dotes on her.
Why do we have
magic.
This jello here?
It's magic. And it has princess.
But her life hasn't exactly been easy. For one thing, she's one of those 47 million Americans without health insurance. Even the cheapest individual policy for someone her age in Kentucky is way too expensive, she says, more than $700 a month. Still, ever the optimist, Pino hasn't given up on her quest to improve the nation's health care system.
For years, I kept thinking, well, some health plan is going to call and say, Linda, we really want to do things right, and we know that you have a deep understanding of how these things are and you care about patients, and we'd love for you to help us put systems together that are patient-centered. And then I could just actually, you know, do something positive.
She's still waiting for that call. Julie Rovner, NPR News.